Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Spring has officially sprung here in Houston, Texas. Yeah. And we are getting geared up for an incredible spring. We've got some cool stuff coming at you on the podcast and our challenges, the new resource. We're getting a ton of feedback on that. So fired up. The sun is shining. It's going to be a good conversation today. We're going to be talking about a meta-analysis comparing the effectiveness of different forms of fasting, caloric restriction, time-restricted eating, and the effects on weight loss. We're going to talk a little bit about the adherence component, beginning with the end in mind, and just going to be a kind of a 30,000 foot view on how we're going to take our weight loss and, more importantly, our health goals and apply them in a lifestyle adaptation. So Fasting for Life podcast, the Fasting for Life method, fast cycling. We always begin with the end in mind, Tommy. So I'm excited for today's conversation.
Yeah.
Around this article. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I love that this is becoming more mainstream, these types of research articles and conversations, because a lot of the stuff we've been talking about recently is from the end of 2022 or even from the beginning of this year in 2023. So first and foremost, shout out. If you're new to the podcast, you've given us a shot, you searched fasting, you searched diet, you searched weight loss, you've tried, you failed, you're a newbie, you're a beginner. I want to welcome you in. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to join you on your weight and health journey. Head back to episode one if you want to hear more about Tommy and I and our journey, how fasting transformed our lives and why we come to you week in and week out, as well as a shout out to the long-term listeners, the folks that are on this journey with us. Continue to fast, continue to try. I heard a quote the other day from one of the coaching calls I was on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m., which is smack dab right in the middle of family time. So my wife looked at me like I was a little crazy, but popped the AirPod in.
Better be running errands.
It was important. And it said, a scar is a reminder of a lesson that you needed to learn. Ooh. And it's going to come up today in the adherence, the beginning with the end in mind portion of today's conversation, when it comes to weight loss and maintaining that weight loss and why it's so difficult. And a lot of people come to fasting for that. For that very reason. So that's why I'm excited for today's conversation, Tommy. Yeah. A meta-analysis comparing the effectiveness of alternate day fasting, the 5-2 diet, and time-restricted eating for weight loss.
You know, when I hear that, and I'm thinking back, and one of the most common questions that we get is, what is the best type of fast? Which fast should I do? You know, almost like, what's the holy grail? Hey, you guys must know which one is the best type. And, you know, there's just so many ways to, quote unquote, skin a cat, right? Like there's just different ways to go about it. There's pros, there's cons. Should we get good at different types of fast, or should we just be a specialist and just focus on one, right? And everybody's answer is going to be a little bit different, but it's cool because as we uncover some of the things that are, you know, kind of shining a light on in this study right here, I think we're going to get into a couple of those details that will, you know, help people, you know, pick a lane or at least where to start and then start to experiment with some different things from there too.
Yeah. And from examine.com, they had labeled this study, which flavor of intermittent fasting is the most effective for weight loss, right? And I just love the play on words there, right? In quotations, flavor of intermittent fasting, right?
The unsweetened flavor.
Right? So it's really funny because in this meta-analysis, different types of intermittent fasting diets produce similar weight loss compared to conventional calorie-restricted diets. Mm. First of all, the word diet and fasting, right? Some people come to fast and say, well, we really want to leave that old dieting construct behind. If you've had multiple failed attempts, which statistics show, and if you look around here, especially here, everything's bigger here in Texas. The obesity rates, the
including the brisket sandwiches I just saw an ad for.
Right. The healthcare costs that go along with it, right? So everything's bigger here in Texas.
Everything.
Yep. Everything's bigger, right? The high schools.
Yep.
They look like small college campuses, especially here in Katy. But when we're looking at this, it was cool because they had very strict criteria, and there are some limitations too, but they had some strict criteria on what they were looking for in terms of the comparison. And they looked at a total of 24 studies involving 1,768 participants. And they were broken down into ADF, which is alternate day fasting, or modified ADF. So there were 12 studies on that. And then the 5-2 diet, there were 8 studies there. We'll break down the specifics of what these are in just a second. There were 4 studies on TRE, or time-restricted eating, and they varied all across the map. And then there was the 4th category, which is calorie restriction. There were 15 studies there. And then ad libitum eating, so meaning no dietary restriction, and there were 9 studies on that. So these all range from 3 to 26 weeks, which is pretty cool. And the primary outcome was weight loss, right? Which is the reason anyone starts a new diet or a boot camp or intermittent fast, right?
Pretty much.
I should say. And as a secondary outcome, they were looking at dietary adherence. And it was interesting to kind of look at the outcomes, because there was a lot of similarity in the outcomes. And that speaks to the question that you alluded to, which is, what is the best way to? What is the best fast to? What is the time I should be? Should I be doing the same thing every day? Should I be varying it? Should I do ADF? Should I do 5-2, et cetera, et cetera? Well, the adherence, if we begin with the end in mind, is the most important piece. Because if you don't create those habits and that lifestyle, then you're just going to be back on the whichever route you choose, you're going to be back on that weight loss roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And every time you try to lose the same 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, I don't know about you, because I've done it multiple times until fasting, where it's been gone for good. And it's not coming back. It gets a little bit harder, right?
Yes, it gets harder. Gets a little slower. Well, for me, it was getting more frustrating too, because I felt like, haven't I been here before? I'm kind of tired of this Groundhog Day. This like feeling like I'm doing the same thing over and over again. So when we look at the different ways here, and we start talking about adherence, I really like that. You caught me off guard there, because you know, I don't hear people talking a lot about the adherence to a given plan. It's all about what's going to be the most effective. And that's always the question that we get. I don't ever hear the question, which one will I be able to stick to long term? I hear which one's the most effective, right?
Like, which one makes the scale move?
Yes.
What are my numbers? What's my schedule, et cetera? Yeah. What gets me there?
Give me the fastest one that's going to move the needle the quickest. But it really is important if we think long term about this, because if I have anything more than like just a couple of pounds to lose, then I'm going to need to be playing the long game here, not just the flash in the pan, not the hot tub experience, right? So adherence matters. That's why we're talking about it.
So when we break these down, ADF, alternate day fasting. So that is ad libitum one day, and then complete restriction the next day. So no caloric intake. Modified ADF.
Call it a burn day.
A fast day, right? Yeah, burn day. Right. Burning fat. I love it. The modified is 500 or 600 calories for female versus male to have like a little mini, we call it a little mini meal. And then you've got the 5-2 diet, which is 5 normal days of consumption and then 2 days of complete caloric restriction. Some people will also do kind of a mini meal on that, which isn't an extended fast. It's more of that kind of fast mimicking type approach.
I think that's more popular, don't you think? I hear people talking about that a lot more.
Well, yeah, it is. And there's a lot of studies on it too. And then TRE, which is we did an episode on January 17th of this year that coincided with our blueprint, which is the blueprint to fasting for fat loss. And the TRE, we did a cool one on 4-hour, because TRE means time-restricted eating. So 4-hour versus 6-hour windows. But in this study, they were anywhere from 12-hour fasts all the way up to 21-hour fasts, which is a huge gambit of difference. And then there were 15 studies on calorie restriction, which is, as mentioned, your standard traditional weight loss diet typically advocates consuming, you know, anywhere from 350, 400, 500, all the way up to 750 calories less each day, where intermittent fasting is seen as an alternative method that has a lot of physiological benefits outside of weight loss, balancing hormones, et cetera. So all of these variations creates complexity. Yeah, and complexity, yeah, you're probably already, if you're still listening, thank you. Complexity kills progress.
Yes.
And it also kills sustainability because you're just like, man, I just don't want to do this, right? Yeah. So
decision fatigue too.
Right. So before I forget, upcoming on April 5th, just here in a couple of weeks, is our second 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge. And yes, the entire premise of these challenges is to speed up the learning curve, right? And the acceleration of your understanding of how to make fasting a lifestyle. That's why it's called
how to make it stick.
Yes, the fasting lifestyle challenge, right? It is not a 7-day fast, right? We use different varied fasting windows. There's advanced schedules. There's standard schedules. Depending on your experience or how your weight loss or your fasting has been going as of late. So we help you choose that schedule, and then we walk you through each and every day live in the group, personalized coaching, question and answers. We bring you inside of our personalized VIP group. So before I forget, I want to make sure that we mention that that's coming up on April 5th, and the link is in the show notes. So go ahead and click the link. Mm-hmm. More information, frequently asked questions. The registration link is there. Let us know. Reach out if you have any additional questions. But Tommy, what we do during those 7 days is exactly what I love about this article is that it talks about a lot of the different components in the results, right? So mm-hmm. if we're speaking, hey, I want the results, I want the quickest way, I want the most effective way to your point. Well, there was a lot of similarities between these approaches. So ADF and modified ADF, the 5-2 diet and time-restricted eating, those 12-hour up to 21-hour fasting windows, all led to similar amount of weight loss. With a range of, now here's the range, 0.8 up to 12.9, so 13% of body weight.
Wow.
For ADF.
That's a large range.
Right? And modified ADF.
Yeah.
2% to 8% for the 5-2 diet, and 0.9% to 8.5% for TRE. So a lot of variability. Now, ADF, alternate day fasting, definitely was the clear winner with the highest end range there in terms of weight loss. But when you look at the differences in weight loss when comparing any of the IF diets, the ones we just mentioned, TRE, 5-2, ADF, to caloric restriction, the weight loss was pretty similar, right? As we just mentioned, those ranges. But the adherence as well was similar among all of the dietary regimens. So more than one way to get the same result, which is, okay, now what? What do I do now? Well, that's why we talk a lot about OMAD, right?
Yeah, I love OMAD too. And I was hoping that they would include that in this study. They do include OMAD sometimes in studies like this, but not in this one in particular. But the cool thing about OMAD, we did a study on this like way back, it's been a while, but comparing that and seeing how it fit into this equation too, comparing it versus ADF and some other protocols. But you know, the cool thing about OMAD is the simplicity, which is why we have another resource, the Fast Start Guide, that's available for OMAD. But even like in the blueprint, which is really cool as far as developing some different skills and using some different fast cycles to start to get the weight off, OMAD is cool because of the simplicity. Now, however, there are pitfalls for sure, like when OMAD, when my meal becomes an extended window, or when it starts to get later and later and later into the evening, because OMAD dinner is a very, very popular, overwhelmingly the most popular choice. So when we look at these other protocols, you know, it's always kind of a double-edged sword. But what was interesting was the correlation, the fact that they found alternate day fasting to be the most effective protocol. Well, guess what? It's also the one with the longest fast between actually breaking those fasts, right? So there's a huge correlation there. And when we modify it and we start adding the mini meals, which is fine, especially especially to start with, because it's right, easier to do. It's easier to kind of wrap my mind around it. You know, that's going to spike the insulin. That's going to spike my blood sugar. That's going to bring in some more fuel that I'm not needing to tap into long-term fat stores. at that point. So, the results make sense. But when I start looking at the fact that the time restricted eating had such a range of results and even kind of underwhelming, didn't really surprise me, because I believe we were going from between 12 hours fasted all the way up to 21 hours fasted, right? You talk about a wide range of, of what my fast actually was. It makes a lot of sense to me that a lot of that would kind of just even out, that a 21 hour fast is very, very different from a 12 hour fast. And my caloric intake, when I break that fast over a 3 hour period versus a 12 hour period, I mean, I could be doing some serious different, you know, type of ingestion over that time, and let alone the insulin that goes along with it, not having time to tap into fat stores. So a lot of stuff just washes out right there.
Yeah. Hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, AquaTrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which, if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions, they do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy, allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTRU.com and enter code fasting for life, FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at aquatrue.com. And when we're looking at the adherence, right? So we're beginning with the end in mind, the long-term picture of what's going to work for me long-term. The adherence here, in the studies that lasting 3 months or shorter, the adherence was higher for ADF, modified ADF was the highest, then caloric restriction, then the 5-2 diet, and then TRE. Well, the variability to exactly what you were just speaking about there, the variability there, that wide range of different windows can also create lack of adherence. Because I don't know about you, but a constantly moving target is difficult.
Yes.
Right. So it's day to day, making those decisions, freelancing in the moment. Oh, I'll have the willpower to say no to this, mm-hmm. or I'll go here and I'll do this. I'll start again Monday, et cetera. So that's one of the traps.
It's exhausting.
It is. And that's one of the traps that falls into the, oh, I'll do one meal a day as my fat loss strategy versus one meal a day as my maintenance strategy. Personally, I've used OMAD as both,
right? Yeah, me too.
Just depends on the eating, what I'm eating, what I'm focusing on, and the different variables. So it appeared through the summary here that ADF and modified ADF and calorie restriction had the highest participant adherence. Mm-hmm. But then what happens at the 6-month mark or the 9-month mark or the 12-month mark, or when life throws you some curveballs and you just get bored? And that's what I mean about sticking to the same thing day in and day out. So for me, tracking calories and weighing my food and planning ahead, and that's insanely not sustainable for me. Mm-hmm. It never worked for me. For my wife, however, it's incredibly sustainable. Yep. Like on Wednesday nights, we have breakfast night. And I know exactly what she has: a half a cup of Bob's Red Mill, gluten-free pancake mix, one egg, half a tablespoon of avocado oil, and anywhere from 27 to 35 grams of Designs for Health bone broth chocolate protein. Now, depending on the day, specific. Right? No, this is my life because I make dinner on Wednesday nights because I get the kids. They come home. We make breakfast and boom.
Yeah.
So that's cool. This is also a night that I don't really love breakfast food. So either I'm eating like more carnivore-y, more eggs, you know, that kind of thing. But for her, then on top of this, she'll either do 12 grams of butter or maybe sometimes a drizzle of honey, anywhere between 8 to 15 grams. So I am prepping this for her as she's coming home from the clinic.
Yeah.
Me doing that once a week is fine. Me doing that multiple times a day, just insane. I'm not even going to start. So the reason I bring that up is because that adherence component I thought was one of the most interesting parts of this study. And they did it in a way that was, they admit that it's a weak point, right? That the networking analysis is based on, you know, following these folks through all of these different studies. Mm-hmm. So the longer the study goes out, it makes sense that the decreased amount of adherence, especially when the result doesn't match the expectation. Ooh, so
there you go. You hit it. Yep.
Recently, especially
over time.
Yeah. Recently for me, been focusing on some visceral fat. I know you've been doing some cold plunges. We've been playing around with the science, right?
Yep.
I was using my pool as a cold plunge, but now it's warming up. Spring has sprung here in Texas. So
turning into a lukewarm 72 plunge.
Degree cold plunge isn't really a cold plunge. So I know for me recently, beginning with the end in mind, that sustainability piece, my eyes have been reopened to some of the old habits that have crept back in the longer I do this, the longer I've been fasting. Okay, so
maintenance slippage?
Yeah. Well, visceral fat directed, are my decisions getting me closer to getting my visceral fat down, my CAC score improved, my triglyceride ratio a little bit better. We're going to be doing an episode coming up here on vitamin D and how fasting can have an effect on vitamins and vitality and sustainability, so right? Kind of the, what do I do now that we've looked at this study? We've looked at the meta-analysis. We've looked at the differences between ADF. Where do I go? How do I do it? What do I just do OMAD every day? Do I do dinner? Do I do breakfast? Do I do lunch? Well, that's why we have some of the resources that we have. And that's why we created the new blueprint. So I want to unpack that just a little bit to make sure, as we always begin with the end in mind and say in our podcast intro, we want to give you one or two things that you can leave today with, actionable things that you can do to put or level up your fasting journey.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that. And what that makes me think about is feeling like I'm either about to jump back into something new, or I feel like things haven't been moving lately. Like I've been feeling a little bit stuck, because both of those situations, like it's time to do something a little bit different. So either a little bit more of what I've been doing, like maybe like you talked about with the creamer, like getting a little bit more strict about the basics, that might be, that's one potential thing to take out of this conversation is go to the foundational stuff and do it a little bit better than you've been doing it. If it's gotten a little slippery, if you feel like you've been strict with it recently, might be time to turn up the heat a little bit, or turn up the cold. If you're, you know, stepping into the cold plunge, like if you've been consistently doing, let's say 14-hour fasts, oh, well, maybe it's time to increase that fasting length a little bit, because as we saw in the study, as our fasting length goes up a little bit, so do our results. And the if I've been doing something,
you laugh there for a very specific reason, I believe, and tell me if I'm off here. You laugh because you're like, well, it makes sense, right? Almost like an aha duh type moment,
right?
Like,
yeah
if you fast longer. Right. But then you're like, well, I can't even think about skipping breakfast if you're a beginner. How am I going to get to only eating in a 4-hour window? And then if I think about that, my brain goes buffet, all you can eat buffet. Right. Like, so there's a learning curve, which is where we started today's conversation. Right. A scar is a reminder of a lesson that you needed to learn. Ooh. And on this journey, there's a lot of variability there. So I love that where you are coming from is like, well, maybe it's time to get back to the basics, because we can overcomplicate this process, just as in this conversation from the study today. How do we simplify it?
Yeah, that's the interesting part, because sometimes it does get like confusing though. Like, I'm not sure why the scale's not moving anymore, or not
I did
sure
everything
why.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, these question marks kind of come about. And, you know, like, that's why we do the challenge. That's why I'm so excited about the next challenge that's coming up, because it can help to answer a lot of those questions that come up. But the other cool thing is that if you take another thing out of this conversation or this study today, it's the fact that, like, some variability is good, even though that was always something that, like, for my brain, I don't like setting out on a plan that I know needs to change, like, all the time. I just want, like, just give me the plan, okay? Just give me the thing that's going to work and let me do it. But that's really not how this journey goes for most people. And so knowing that I'm going to need some variability, but in order for me to stick with it, to adhere to the process, I'm going to need to be strategic with that. And I'm also going to need confidence so I don't get derailed along the way. So understanding those pieces and just going, hey, maybe it's time for me to do something a little bit new. Well, then let me take one of these other protocols that are in here or that are in the blueprint or that I learned from the challenge, and let me go take one of those and do it, because I'm probably going to see a little bit different results. And then I can continue on my journey in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. So if you're looking for support, right? Challenge is a few weeks out, maybe you don't even know what the challenge is. You're like, what do I do now? What do I do today?
Sure.
Head to the show notes, click the link. We're going to email you the free blueprint to fasting for fat loss. It's a 20-page PDF. It has different fasting schedules, what different weeks look like. It gives you some perspective on why getting the weight off matters, right? And what I love about this article is that, you know, it's beginning with the end in mind. It's talking about, it's in the Journal of Obesity, right? Yeah. It's talking about the fact, how do I want to say this, that the rise in prevalence of the obesity issues that we have and the related metabolic diseases has led to an increase of different dietary interventions, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more confusion and options out there than ever before. Right.
Yep,
so we want to simplify this process, because when we did it and we started and it started working for us, it was like, okay, simplicity, right? Over complexity. Simplicity. Sure. The one thing we do know is that life is complex and it will always be moving and changing. And
yes, it's like, not getting any simpler.
It's not getting any simpler, right? No. It's getting more distractible and more inputs and more, you know, ways to go off track. So,
right.
If you're looking for, what was I doing? Squirrel? Wait, what? What do I do now? Right? Well,
find yourself distracted?
I'll just start my timer tomorrow. Right? Yeah. So we want to give you that. And that's why we created this blueprint and launched it this year, because we realized that it's like, all right, we need to level up the support. And we want you guys to have something you can go back to, like a Bible, like here's my roadmap. Here's where I begin. I've got it.
Bible.
I have it. I can touch it. I can see it. If you're like me, you want to print it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's now cool. There's, yeah. Well, you can, you know, just in a preview on a Mac, you can go in and now mark it up and draw on it and do all kinds of crazy stuff. So
yeah,
I don't think color ink has gone down in price. So maybe not print it out, because it is nice and colorful, right? And eye catching, but go grab it. And then challenge coming up April 5th. Tommy, I am inspired to know, and I'm loving the trends that we're starting to see, that fasting is becoming more mainstream.
Yes.
Beginning with the end in mind is what we add to the conversation. And I hope today that with it, you're going to maybe walk away with a, hey, it's time for me to do something. It's time for me to do something different. And that's what we're here for. I want to encourage you that it worked for us. It can work for you. Head to the show notes, grab the blueprint, check out the registration link for the challenge coming up on April 5th. And Tommy, as always, sir, appreciate the conversation. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.